Cap.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow, live from Radio Row.
Radio Row.
At the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. We're live on Radio Row in Atlanta, Super Bowl 53 coming up Sunday. Beautiful stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I've never been there before, but I had a number of friends. I live in Nashville, so I don't live that far from Atlanta. So I've had friends that have gone down for the SEC Championship game. I have friends that have gone down for the kickoff classic, you know, to start college football. And I've had some friends go down there to see the Falcons play. And every one of them loves the stadium. So this is my first visit to see it. And it's absolutely gorgeous. The really nice downtown area where you got a collection of where the Hawks play, where the Falcons play, all kind of in a downtown area, which is really nice. The Braves play in the suburbs, kind of north of the city, so they're not part of the conglomeration of the stadiums. But it is nice to see Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I liked the look. I know it's kind of space age, but I always liked the look. So it really does look nice. It'd be good, nice to home for the Super Bowl. So both teams arrived last night. They'll have media tonight. Everybody will ask a bunch of questions, and we'll break down a lot, get a lot of interesting thoughts on this game coming up. But again, my overall question, and we talked about this with the LA Rams. If they win, what does it mean for the franchise? 3 years in Los Angeles, young head coach, young quarterback, bright, a quarterback that at one point struggled under Jeff Fisher, found his groove with Sean McVay. Now, but what about the Patriots? On the flip side of that, what does it mean for the Patriots to get, if they were to win the Super Bowl, to get another ring, to get the sixth overall? Not only the sixth, and a lot of franchises have gone after six. The 49ers had an opportunity. The Steelers have six. The Cowboys have five. So we've seen teams on the cusp of getting six. But this isn't just the Patriots getting six. This is Belichick and Brady getting six. And that is a whole different kind of can of worms. But when you think about this team and where they were this season and winning, no wonder there is a chip on the shoulder a little bit. But I think it's overblown. I thought it was a little bit overplayed. But motivation comes in all shapes and sizes. You can have people get motivated over the smallest slight to the largest injustice. The Patriots want to motivate themselves by thinking everybody thinks they're no good, or they had such a bad season that they're such a surprise to be here. God bless them. But I'm not surprised they're here. I don't think very many people are surprised they're here. Because they're the Patriots, and we've seen this act play out time and time again. The same conversations about America being tired of them, we did that 2 years ago and last year, and we'll do it again this year.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you can be with us. Radio Row in Atlanta, Super Bowl 53. The betting favorites, still the Patriots, all the sports books. Betting money is leaning on New England, but you know, because everyone thinks they're terrible. But nevertheless, the numbers are pretty good on the New England side in terms of the betting line. Consensus line is 2.5 for New England. That'll probably move up and down a little bit, depending on where the money is coming from on both sides. This has been a hard Super Bowl, and it's early in the week, so give me a little bit of wiggle room as we dive more and more deep. But it's been a very difficult Super Bowl for me to pick against New England, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't know why I'm digging myself a hole. But you remember, I'm the brilliant guy that thought three of four road teams would win in the divisional round. So I'm the brilliance of that. Even though I know that doesn't happen, I thought this was the year it happened. So I'm pretty good at this, Ron. I mean, I'm stellar. So just kind of lean in the opposite direction when it comes to me picking games. It's like me in fantasy football. For whatever reason, I'm terrible at fantasy football. So I should be good at it, but I'm terrible at it.
So then you're for the Rams. This is what you're saying.
Yeah,
if you were going to put money down, you would put it on the Rams to cover the 2.5.
Okay, there's some wiggle room here, man. Like I can see myself switching this out by the end of the week and just being more and more convinced by New England. But this is where I'm leaning right now. I just got this feeling that I think the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. It's a very familiar Eagles feeling from last year, right? Like, I really liked the Eagles going into that Super Bowl. I didn't pick them, but I liked them a lot. I thought, man, I like this Eagles team a lot. But in the end, I went Patriots because what they did to Atlanta the year before, I thought, man, just there's something about this stage that brings out the best in this team. And I just didn't think, I thought, I'm just going to pick the Patriots, but I had a really good feeling about the Eagles. I have that feeling with the Rams, but this time I'm going to pick the Rams, and unlike last year when I wimped out and went Patriots anyway, this year I'll stick by my guns. The gut feeling is I think the Rams will win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for me,
so I'm going to stick with it.
For me, what it is, I'm having a hard time jumping on the Rams bandwagon. And it has a lot to do with this, is that every competitive game I've seen them in, they've fallen behind and have always had to.
That's a good point.
Have always had
point,
to
right.
fight their way back to get into it. We saw it last week against the Saints. We saw it the week before against the Cowboys. Towards the end of the season, we kept seeing them fall behind early and then fight their way back to get that win. And that's part that scares me, because if they fall behind early against the Patriots, I'm leaning towards Belichick being a much better coach right now than Sean McVay. I think the Rams have better weapons, have better players, have more talent than the Patriots do. But just the minds of Belichick and Brady, if the Rams go down early like we've seen, I see the Patriots, you know, just managing the clock and just managing the game in their favor.
And that's different than what we saw in the NFC Championship, right? That's different than, because as many people will point to the non-pass interference call, and then again, rightfully so, egregious call, cost the Saints a chance to win the game, or basically cost them to win the game. But there is a lot of criticism of Sean Payton, how he managed time,
right,
how he managed clock. Why was he throwing that kind of pass anyway? Belichick doesn't make those mistakes. Belichick's not going to make those mistakes. He's not going to put his team in position. That clock and what you call on the clock and what you do in certain circumstances to just win the game. Don't win with what brought you here, that kind of nonsense. He doesn't have that. That's not part of his repertoire. So you're right. If the Rams fall behind early, they were trailing 13-0 against the Saints, but there were circumstances in that game that allowed the Rams to get right back into that football game. I don't think the Patriots do that, although you could make the argument that the Chiefs did, and if the Chiefs could, so could the Rams. But in the end, it's again, Belichick is just a way of going, well, we're still not going to be out of this thing. We're still not going to lose this thing.
No, and that's the thing. I don't see. I mean, I just, even when they were playing against the Eagles, I mean, the Eagles had to pull out all the stops. They had to make all their plays. That, you know,
yeah,
they couldn't. You, and that's the thing against the Patriots. You can't afford to have a 3-and-out series against the Patriots.
That's the thing. You're right. We don't ever talk about that with the Patriots. Do we ever talk about having them? They have to play a perfect game in order to win.
You do.
Never.
You do. You have to play a perfect game, and we, you know.
But everybody else does. Everybody else has to.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it
last week with the Chiefs. The Chiefs were, you know, what, like a play or two away from playing a perfect game. And, you know, it bit them.
Yeah, it does. Right. Exactly. So if you are the Rams, you can't make mistakes. If you're the Patriots, you can make a mistake or two and still win the game. They turned the ball over twice against the Chiefs and still won the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think the Chiefs turned the ball over once.
No,
in the game.
I almost want to say too, the Chiefs controlled the tempo for most of the game. But yet it still is like, you know what? You give Brady too much time. You know, we all saw that when it was happening. You know, 2.5 minutes. We're like, here we go again.
Yeah.
And we just knew that it was going to happen.
Darren Rovell is tweeting that the NFL's first public comments about the no pass interference call comes in a way of a response to the court that answering the Saints fan who petitioned Goodell in the league to redo the end of the game. Now, I haven't read it, so I don't know what it entails. I would be really surprised if it's we made a mistake, it's awful, that in that kind of language. It's probably more
can we have this go to trial, please?
I doubt it.
Can it go to trial,
Wouldn't
please?
Wouldn't that be fun?
I just want to see
fun?
It.
If it's on trial, can we have a situation where both of the parties have agreed to dismiss their court cases and have their disputes settled here, the people's court? Can we have that?
Yes, I want Judge Judy to drop the hammer.
Can we have
We have Judge Judy. Let's get Judge Judy. Or who's the other judge, the one that's a little younger?
I don't know. I just know Judge Judy.
Judge Judy. Okay.
I don't really watch court shows.
Nevertheless, I don't either.
Judge
I
Wapner
used to watch them all the time.
Judge Wapner's still kicking around, right?
No, he's not. I don't think Rusty the bailiff is either.
The guy from TMZ?
Oh, Harvey Levin.
Yeah. Harvey Levin. Have him do the pre and post game interview, if you will.
In the thing, he goes, well, the Saints got robbed of a Super Bowl. What do you think? Oh, I think they should replay the game. No, they shouldn't replay the game. The game is the game. Oh, well, let's go inside and see what the judge says.
Yep. Simulcast on TMZ.
Right, completely.
How amazing would it be if amazing would it be if all of a sudden like the judge was like, you have an interesting point. Let's put a gag order on the Super Bowl.
we can totally see it. Goodell on the stand. Now, Mr. Goodell, where were you at the time of this pass interference non-call? Well, I was in Kansas City. You could have made a phone call, could you not? I guess. Why didn't you?
You mean to tell me with all this fancy new technology, you yourself, Mr. NFL, did not see it on TV?
By the way, every time we do the lawyer voice, it's always some big, burly southerner.
I blame, I blame movies for that.
I do too. Why isn't it like a slick, Ivy League educated lawyer?
Not as much fun.
Every time we do the lawyer bit, we always do this gregarious, overweight lawyer from the South.
You said overweight. Is your lawyer wearing suspenders as well?
Yes. Completely.
And he's holding on to his suspenders. Mr. Goodell.
Works at a big old law firm downtown, right?
He might have a similar plantation suit as Boss Hogg, in my opinion.
We do it all the time. Every time we do that. We're going to continue to do that, by the way. Every time we do the lawyer bit.
All week long.
Mr. Goodell, you mean to tell me with all your fancy technology?
You know why? If you were to say Mr. Goodell in like a Ivy League, it just doesn't sound right.
No.
I mean, no, put any other commissioner there, we might go, Mr. Goodell, this would not happen. We could do that then, but Mr. Goodell has to have, the guy saying it has to have a Deep South voice.
Yeah, you got to roll it off. Right, exactly. But seriously, if that actually went to trial, I would love it. I'd follow it every day. I'd watch it every day. Are you kidding?
But the part that I find amazing though would be if they suspended the Super Bowl. Like, oh, we can't play it just yet. We got to finish this case first. It'd be like Kanye West coming out. I was like, I will let you have your moment, but first, we need to figure out, what happened with the Saints. Was that justified or not? Before you guys have your game, all this lead up happening. I mean, it would come down like on Friday or Saturday.
Man, I'll tell you, it stinks. It stinks to lose a game by a big blown call like that. But man. Dude, I don't want to remind people of this because it sounds basic, but when you're a sports fan, that just comes with the territory. You better learn to deal with that stuff.
Yeah, the Saints have been on the right end of blown calls. I can't name one. Every team we've ever rooted for has been on the right end of a blown call.
You've got to figure out how to process that kind of stuff, man. You're going to lose your mind. Are you kidding me? You're going to break down. You just got to stop and go, okay, whatever.
In fact, I remember this season, you and I going back and forth against with each other. Texting each other during the Chargers Steelers game. Because there were a couple calls, I don't remember what they were, that went my way.
Yeah, completely. That's exactly right. Like I said earlier, Super Bowl 40 went, there was a lot of calls against the Seahawks in that one. And I just was like, but Seahawks fans
and you
were
did,
like, eh.
You know, to your Seahawks friend, you didn't see any of those calls. I don't know what
no,
they're talking
not at all.
About.
It was all nonsense.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That looked
legal. All right.
That decapitation looked legal to me.
Again, hit us up on Twitter, @TonyDRadio. You can also hit Ron up at Ron Culver, and that's Ron spelled with two N's. And we continue to look ahead to this week. That is the Super Bowl here in Atlanta on Radio Row at SB Nation AM.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Continuing coverage of the Super Bowl week this week in Atlanta. When your battery loses its power, you lose your ability to get out, get around, and get things done. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the Super Start battery that's the exact fit for your vehicle. Whether it's reliable, economy, hardworking, premium, or powerful extreme, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the Super Start battery you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You know what's interesting about these two teams is we talk about how different they are. And they are. They're very different, right? But it's interesting. The one thing that they have in common is that their growth and their how they emerged to get to where we are today in terms of how they deal with personnel are examples of things in the league that usually don't work. That these two teams have found a way to make it work. And I'll tell you how this works out for the Rams. Remember, it wasn't that long ago the Rams were not a very good franchise. Jared Goff was not a good quarterback. Jeff Fisher was not a good coach. And the Rams, who traded up in the draft to get the number one pick, to take Jared Goff, to get him as their quarterback, when they decided, okay, Jeff Fisher is gone, we're bringing in Sean McVay, they kind of went all in creating like not a super team per se, but willing to go out and dump money into guys, Ndamukong Suh, right? They brought in Aqib Talib. They brought in guys, wide receiver Brandon Cooks, whatever. They brought in guys on a upper level. That usually in this league doesn't always play out. If you think like the Eagles, for example, tried to do this a couple of years ago. And the Patriots on the flip side are a team that has found its coach and quarterback and has gotten that to perfection. Therefore, everything else is some like middle-tier level player. And they manage the cap really well, and they don't go out and overpay for superstars. They know how their system and what they want to do works. They'll find you in it. They'll make you work in it. And those two things usually don't work. If you tried that New England approach with other teams, you'd probably fail. If you tried the Rams approach with other teams, it'd probably fail. If the Steelers all of a sudden went out and just overpaid for everybody, it would probably blow up. If the Browns did the same thing, it would probably blow up. There's a combination that has to work right. A little bit of luck, right? A good combination of guys fitting into a system and playing well. But on the flip side with the Patriots, sometimes you do need need star position, star guys at other positions because your quarterback isn't going to be as good as Tom Brady. It's a real interesting case for these two teams. But I want to say one thing about the Rams, and I think this is another example of what if the league were to showcase a team and say, this is how you can do it, the Rams are the team that they would showcase in that saying, look, guys, we've been telling you all along that you shouldn't be that long removed from competing for a championship. The tools are all there. If you fail to utilize those tools in the proper way, shame on you. You've got to find the right general manager. You have got to find the right coach. You have got to find the right guy that can manage your cap. If you've got those in place and you've got good talent evaluators, you're not that far removed from competing for a championship. You shouldn't be bad for 7-8 years. This isn't baseball. Right? You shouldn't be bad for 7-6, however many years. If you do things correctly in your front office, you can build a championship team. There's no excuse for this, right? If you don't like your general manager, find somebody else. If you don't like your coach, find a young guy or an old guy. It doesn't matter, but find somebody else. You don't like your quarterback, get rid of him and get somebody else. You don't like the way you're running the ball, find somebody who can do it right. That's the way this league is. If you want to take your money and put it, invest it into different players, in however way you want, you are not that far removed from being competitive. The Rams were a 4-win team, 3 years ago? Right? I mean, now they're in the Super Bowl. Right, it looked like it was going to be long and dreary for the Rams because moving from St. Louis, nothing changed except location. Same coach, same quarterback, same system, right?
get a draft pick. Get a high draft pick to get our quarterback. Get a young head coach that's on the cusp of being one of the great ones. Let's go out and get some free agents. Let's trade for Dante Fowler. He doesn't work in Jacksonville, but he'll work for Wade Phillips and work for us. We'll find, sign guys and pay him a little more if we can. Let's take this to the next place. Let's take this to the next level. But instead, you've got teams, and there's no excuse why the Browns have been terrible forever. Or the Jets. Oh, my God. You should be able to do it with the tools that this NFL gives you. And the Rams are a perfect example of it. If your team has not made the playoffs in a couple of years, if your team has been mediocre for a while, the Rams are an example of how to do it right. Now, again, it doesn't always work for every team, and I'm not saying that they have the right approach. What they've done building the super team usually doesn't work, as I said earlier, but it's the thought process behind it. It's the thought process that we can change our own fortune. We can go and be bold. And if it works, great, but it's got to be better than what we're doing now. And it does start in the front office. It doesn't start with players. We see this all the time in the NFL. Player plays for a team, disappears, we never hear from him. Then he goes to another play, he becomes a Pro Bowler, or at least he becomes, his talent is recognized. We see it all the time in this league, right? Just because it didn't work in A doesn't mean it won't work in B, C, D, E, all the way down the line. Sometimes you need a change of scenery, sometimes you need a different voice. But if you're a talented NFL football player and you find the right system, it'll work out. And so if I'm the NFL, this is the team, the Rams, this is the team I would focus on, is that to all the other franchises and all the other fan bases that think, man, we're never going to get this done. Why do we stink? Why aren't we in the postseason enough? Why? The Rams are what you want to follow. Patriots, that's very difficult because Brady is one of those, again, anomalies that you don't find Hall of Fame level quarterbacks with the sixth round in the draft. You just don't. Right, the fact that I always have to remind people, the reason why Tom Brady's story is unique is because it doesn't happen. So don't look, every draft we hear this, right? Every draft we hear, to get viewers interested in the final couple of days of the draft. Well, this is the round they found Tom Brady, so you never, no, I can guarantee you you're not going to find another Tom Brady. What makes Tom Brady unique is that his story is such an outlier for, Nobody would miss out on that. Would miss out on that talent again, or B, it was a perfect storm of different three things that allowed him to blossom.
Yeah, his story,
the superstar he is.
His story was the catalyst for why Matt Castle got signed by, yes, was exactly. It by the Chiefs?
Yeah, right.
Because
exactly.
Matt Castle was a guy we never really started in high school. Definitely didn't start in college. Gets to the Patriots, Brady goes down with an injury. He has a good season, borderline great season with the Patriots. And everyone thought, like, oh, my God, the Patriots landed on another Tom Brady. Let's snatch him up. Let's give him all the money because he's exactly right. It didn't pan out that way, but it was Brady's story that made everyone believers that, yeah. Oh, my God, here's a guy who, he doesn't have a pedigree. He doesn't have film. He doesn't have tape that we can go off
yeah.
of.
But, and look, don't get me wrong. They're like, Dak Prescott was in the fourth round. There was a couple of guys who've started in this league undrafted. There's been obviously not this, because we've never seen a quarterback like this first round, first overall pick, whatever. We've never seen a 9-time Super Bowl participant at the quarterback position, greatest right. of all time, even at 41. So I'm not saying you can't find your quarterback in the sixth round. I'm not saying you can't find him in the fifth. What I'm saying is don't think that the next Tom Brady is coming from the sixth round. That's not likely. Right, the next Tom Brady is not going to be coming late in the draft. No one's going to know who he is. That's not going to happen. That's what makes Brady's story unique, because it is unique.
It takes a perfect storm because, if Brady was selected in the sixth round and say he went to, the Browns during that time frame, would he have been as successful? I don't think so.
No, I think he took the right coach and I took the right circumstances.
Yeah,
right?
And like you were alluding to earlier, the front office of both of these teams, there's a lot of differences between these two teams. One similarity they have, but the front offices have been able to build a winning franchise.
Exactly, and they both did it in different ways and in different right. payrolls and structured their money. But they both were willing to say, here's a system we believe in, we know talent, we see talent, we know how it would work with us, and that works. The Rams might be a couple of years, and then they might just be good but not great. I don't know. Maybe they're great for a long period of time. But I know if I rooted for this Rams team, if I was in L.A. and I just embraced them when they were a 4-win team, I like the fact that they were aggressive. I like the fact that they threw all their chips in and said, let's just see where this could possibly go, because they're 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl championship by putting all their chips on the table. Talk Super Bowl history next.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us here on SB Nation AM as we are on Radio Row getting ready for Super Bowl 53 coming up on Sunday. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, again, it looks nice, nice-looking stadium. This date in Super Bowl history, and we've been doing this all pretty much by mid-month, we've been starting to give you the historical perspectives of these past Super Bowls that occurred on this date. And I hate to say this, this is not one of my favorite days of Super Bowl history, January 28th. I was kind of hoping it would fall on a weekend. It doesn't. It fell on a Monday, which means for the rest of the way, I'm going to have to do this date for at least the next, 4 years, if there's a leap year involved, to get this to a Saturday. You know why? Because it has two of the worst Super Bowls ever played, and it has a Super Bowl that I just still can't get over. Let's start in 1990 on this date. It was Super Bowl 24. The San Francisco 49ers destroyed the Denver Broncos 55-10. For Denver, this was their third loss in 4 years at the Super Bowl. This was, and I kid you not, for those of you who did not see this, this was pitch and catch football for Joe Montana against that Bronco defense. He threw it like he was playing backyard football with his kids. They could have scored 100 if they wanted to. It was that easy. It was that much of a rout. The Broncos didn't stand a chance and going down. And this is where people kept wondering, is John Elway ever going to win? Not only did he lose his third Super Bowl, there wasn't even a nemesis. There wasn't like a Tom Brady in the league at the time that was just thwarting John Elway as he tried to win a Super Bowl. He lost to Phil Simms. He lost to Doug Williams. Now he lost to Joe Montana. And it just did not look like he was ever going to bring a team that at least defensively was going to be able to match what he could do offensively. And for the 49ers, this was back-to-back Super Bowl championships. And this was encroaching on best ever football team, best ever Super Bowl champion, better than the Steelers, who have won four titles. And this was their fourth. It was an impressive display. I mean, a dominating display by Joe Montana. It was on this date in 1990. It's a little bittersweet for me. The Steelers that year, by the way, had barely got into the postseason, got in and beat the Houston Oilers, and then had the Denver Broncos on the ropes in the Mile High City, but then just came up short. Bubby Brister fumbled the ball due to the noise late in the game, and could not overcome. Merrill Hodge had a pretty good game in that one, but the Steelers couldn't overcome. They went to play Cleveland in the AFC Championship game. They lost. The Browns lost, and the Broncos had the honor of getting destroyed by the Niners in Super Bowl 24 on this date in 1990. Now let's go on this date to Super Bowl. The Super Bowl 30. On this date in 1996, the Dallas Cowboys beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 27-17. Larry Brown with the MVP, catching two interceptions from Neil O'Donnell when covering nobody. I have still no idea how O'Donnell threw those passes. I don't know why O'Donnell threw those passes. The Cowboys went out to a nice lead, looked comfortable, looked like they were going to beat the Steelers pretty handily. Steelers came back in the game. They had an onside kick. They had Bam Morris. They were running it down the Cowboys' throat late, had a chance to tie the game or take the lead, and instead O'Donnell throws an interception. Cowboys later score, and they get the 10-point lead. It was a 3-point game late in that Super Bowl. The Steelers had the ball, and they could not put it away. I thought, of all the Super Bowl championships that they had had, beating the Cowboys in Super Bowl 10 and Super Bowl 13, beating the Vikings, which was before my time as a fan, beating the Rams, which was just barely a Super Bowl I watched, to beat the Cowboys, that Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, Dallas Cowboys team, that was Barry Switzer's Cowboys team, I thought would have been the sweetest Super Bowl championship for the Steelers, just to beat that team. that had beaten the Bills in back-to-back Super Bowls 2 years before. But still, to this day, no idea how in the world Neil O'Donnell threw those passes. But I do know this. He did that on this date back in 1996.
Yeah, you do. The fix was
on. Super Bowl 30. I asked that. I remember asking people that. I remember asking my friends in Pittsburgh, are you hearing anything back in the Steel City about the possibility that Neil O'Donnell had money on the game or something? Larry Brown is just wide open, just covering nothing. And O'Donnell's like, here's an MVP vote. Here's another MVP vote. Take them both. My thing was, I still don't understand why Bill Cowher, who had Bam Morris and had the Cowboys chasing, did not run it down the Cowboys' throat it late in that game to try to at least set up a game-winning field goal. I mean, a game-tying field goal, to at least set up that. Because they could move the chains. But instead, they're throwing, and I think it was Yancey Thigpen was the intended receiver, but I don't think Thigpen was anywhere near Larry Brown at the time. So, nevertheless, that was on this date. And then, finally, you and I touched on this last week with Ray Lewis. It was on this date in 2001 that the Baltimore Ravens beat the Giants 34-7. This might be one of the most forgettable Super Bowls from just a standpoint of it was Kerry Collins of the Giants, I think, if I'm not mistaken, statistically the worst Super Bowl game by a quarterback that has played. Might have been surpassed. Roethlisberger did not have a good game in Super Bowl 40, so might have been surpassed. The Giants only scored on a kick return for a touchdown. They didn't do anything against that Ravens defense. Nothing. I remember Brandon Stokley catching a touchdown from Trent Dilfer, and that was it. By the way, one of the interesting facts about this Super Bowl, though, was Trent Dilfer was not treated very well on his way out of Tampa. Remember, Tony Dungy had a team in the late 90s that was really turning it around, and Dilfer was like the pivot point for Buck fans, who had put up with bad football for a long time, and then the Buccaneers were starting to turn the corner, right? They had Mike Allstott, they had John Lynch, they had Warren Sapp, I mean, they had Barber, they had a football, a real defense, and they were starting to get this offense. But Dilfer was, like all quarterbacks, he was the catalyst for angst in the city of my wife's from that area, so I followed the Buccaneers a little more closely in the late 90s. So Dilfer wasn't really, you know, he left when he was leading the Ravens, who that year struggled to find an offense. Defense, they were great, but they were struggling to find an offense, and Dilfer took over. And they finally had an offense, and they went to the Super Bowl, and Dilfer got to play that Super Bowl and lead a team to a Super Bowl championship in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium. I always thought that was a great side story to that Super Bowl. But other than that, I don't remember much else that went on. And it was back-to-back kick return for touchdowns, and that's about it. And that happened on this date in 2001. So we don't get today is not one of those exciting Super Bowl rewind days for us. We don't get the blowout by the Niners against the Broncos, the I don't know why I'm throwing these passes by Neil O'Donnell in Super Bowl 30, and I barely remember the Ravens winning. Ray Lewis winning the MVP a year after he was in jail. That's the other aspect of the Super Bowl 35. That is it. And you know what happened after Super Bowl? You know what Super Bowl 35 is, though, to all of us? Okay, here's what Super Bowl 35 is to all of us. Here's how we're going to make it memorable. Baltimore beating the Giants. Don't worry about the Ravens. Don't worry about the Giants. Here's how Super Bowl 35 is going to be remembered. Super Bowl 35 is now going to be the point where Tom Brady wasn't in our Super Bowl life.
Yep.
That's the last Super Bowl in which Tom Brady wasn't in our Super Bowl life. After that, whether he went to the game or not, he was in our life, except that one year he was hurt. But nevertheless, from that point on, from that Super Bowl, that's the last one. We didn't even know who he was.
From that moment on, as it stands right now in our day and age, that from that moment on, we had more than, what, four faces for the AFC Championship? AFC
yep,
champions?
That's right.
You know, I mean, we can really just say three because it was just that one year with Joe Flacco that just, you know, kind of throws everything off. But really,
there was one year Tampa played Oakland. But still, that was the second year Brady was still in the league.
Yeah, we're not counting
that one.
Still
fresh off the kid, but that's not really. But this was, we didn't know who Brady was at Super Bowl 35, and after the next year, we knew who he was.
Yeah, but since, that's amazing to think about.
Amazing, right?
Since 2002, other than two quarterbacks, it's always been Brady, Roethlisberger, Manning.
It's crazy.
Since 2002.
It's not supposed to be that way. Nuts. So I'm trying to shine something on Super Bowl 35.
There's nothing to shine. I mean, you said it perfectly. I mean, it was an outstanding Ravens defense. We will give it to them. It was an outstanding Ravens defense.
Suffocating defense.
The Giants, I don't even remember. If you told me that who the Ravens played in that Super Bowl when they won, I would forget.
You know what's funny about that? What's funny is the Giants got to the Super Bowl by beating the Minnesota Vikings like 41-0.
Right.
No, I told you. NFC Championship
game. My best friend in college.
And then they got to the Super Bowl and was like, what?
My best friend in college is a huge, huge Giants fan. I remember watching this game. He was hyped for this game. I remember watching it with him, and by halftime, he was already like, yeah, I got stuff I need to do in the morning. I got to do this. It totally reminded me of the kid in Christmas Vacation. He's like, oh, my God, I got homework. I got to feed the hog. just coming up with any excuse to stop watching.
See, and that's the funny thing about it. Like, if you're a Giants fan, you've got this brilliant Phil Simms performance in the first one, right? Jeff Hostetler, the backup, and we're going to run the ball and we're going to slow the Bills down, right? And the next one, Eli Manning wins two Super Bowls against the Patriots, and then you have this outlier of this one time we win and got throttled by the Ravens.
We
don't even know how to process this.
we don't discuss
it's like,
that.
You know
one.
What? I got to be honest with you. Steeler fans. It's the same way with the Steeler fans. Steeler fans will point to the championships, right? They'll point to the six championships that they have. They'll point to the loss against the Cowboys because Neil O'Donnell. There's hardly any acknowledgement that they lost to the Packers. It's like, yeah, we lost to the Packers. What are you going to do? Right?
Yeah.
Whatever. Aaron Rodgers. Barely remember. That's exactly how Steeler fans are with Super Bowl 45? Yeah. It's like, what are you going to do with that? There's nothing we can do. But for the Giant fans, that's the one. That's the one. The one against the Ravens that was like, yikes, let's just forget it. Jim Fassel was the head coach. Brian Billick was the head coach. I mean, it was just, that's all I can remember. All right, here we go. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, live from Super Bowl Roll in Atlanta.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again, glad you'll be with us. SB Nation AM live in Atlanta. Jake Asman joining us. Best donuts in Atlanta? Did we eat those or not?
We were told they were the best donuts in Atlanta, Tony, and they were pretty good. So it's tough to argue.
I went half and eaten one right here. So I went
nice.
For, that's my third one.
They're going to have them every day, too. So I think every day we're going to have to try a different flavor and kind of compare
right.
throughout the week.
How many of those are we going to get this week? How many? Oh, this is the best pizza in Atlanta, or this is the best coffee
I had the
in
best
Atlanta.
Barbecue in Atlanta yeah. for dinner last night.
Well, you guys need to do, though, is go full bomb Buddy the Elf and just make a mockery of and go, congratulations, you did it!
You did it. Best donuts in Atlanta.
Woo!
Oh, goodness. This is great. Oh, God. I am looking forward to how Atlanta presents itself, because I've been here many times, but not as a tourist, not as a – just kind of driving through, visiting a friend, never really stayed for
Downtown
a while.
Downtown is nice. I didn't realize it was like kind of – I had a different vision for what it was going to look like, but just walking around last night and seeing kind of the layout of the city, it's a really nice area.
I saw that Ferris wheel. I'm like, what am I in London? What is this?
An amusement park.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome. The Ferris wheel, by the way, though, I was going to go on it last night. Guess how much it cost
how
to ride that
thing? How much did it cost
thing?
To ride that thing?
Take a guess.
$10.
Keep going.
15?
Yes.
$15
yes.
for a roller coaster?
Yes. To go around like twice. Are you kidding me?
You're kidding me.
It's outrageous.
Really? $15 to ride a Ferris wheel?
$15.
Wow.
I don't think Gal Media would let me expense that, so I didn't do it.
Do they give you like a T-shirt? I survived the Ferris wheel. Like, is that part of the package?
That's a great question.
Or do I get a number of? Free...
You could fit up to six people in the cart for the Ferris wheel too. So it's a great family experience. You get six people in there, $15 a person. I mean, the NFL is making good money on that thing.
It's not like it's a roller coaster that gives you the thrills of up and down speed.
Just spins round and round.
Spins round and round. That's all it does.
It's got NFL logos on
okay,
each cart.
Well, there
that's
you go.
The appeal.
Maybe that's the appeal.
Yeah, yeah. Don't go on a Raider one. You know,
gonna,
maybe the thing will fall or
give me a
or
free
drop.
Picture or
Cardinal
like,
one.
Gosh. Like, you know what? They should give you like a free picture, like when you're on the down, like at amusement parks, and you're like screaming because you're going down a hill. She's like, pretend like it's exciting. You're like, ah!
$15, you should get a picture. You should get a lot more than just a couple spins around a Ferris wheel.
Yeah, exactly. No kidding. Wow. So, yeah, Coca-Cola Museum, the aquarium I hear is nice.
College Football Hall of Fame.
Well, I walked right by it and didn't see it until
you realize it's sponsored by Chick-fil-A? It's the Chick-fil-A College Football Hall of Fame.
I did not.
Chick-fil-A runs the city. It's
incredible. So it's closed on Sundays then.
You know,
I believe so, actually.
You know what? Yesterday I was at a food court and it was closed. It was the only one closed.
Super Bowl Sunday,
exactly.
It will be closed.
It will be done.
They will not have Chick-fil-A there.
Done.
By the way, you mentioned the aquarium. Tomorrow night, the NFL does the annual media party.
Right.
It's at the Georgia Aquarium right down the street.
So we're going to get to mingle with the other press people with dolphin, sharks, and manatees.
Yes. Last year, the media party was at the Mall of America on the amusement park inside the mall.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm riding roller coasters with, like, you know, Mad Dog Russo and all these guys at sports media that, like, you know, I grew up just, like, seeing them do their thing and that we're just, you know, having a good time riding coasters all around Mall of America. This time it's at an aquarium,
yeah,
so why not?
Aquarium. Why not? Take some pictures, you know, you with, you know, flounder fish.
I want a picture with you at the aquarium tomorrow.
Why not? Let's
we make that happen?
Yes, as long as there can be a sea lion to kind of help.
Yes.
Kind of help.
And I hear Ron's coming in, too. Ron will be coming down.
No, I'm only going for the donuts. I'm not there to see you guys.
No.
The donuts and the aquarium.
He's not there for the aquarium or the Coca-Cola.
That's just the donuts.
No, Ron doesn't do Coca-Cola.
I got to see what.
Yeah.
I only do Diet Coke. They won't have that there, right?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Only Coke.
Probably not. SB Nation AM, we are live at Super Bowl Roll in Atlanta as we get ready for Super Bowl 53. My goodness, it's going to be a great week here at SB Nation Radio.